Good morning. How's everybody? Maggie, thank you so much for that intimate moment of communion. I felt like I was in communion with you and the Lord this morning when you sang out your heart. So good. That reminds me of prayer, and that's why I'm here to talk over you just a little bit about prayer. And I feel the emphasis so strongly because we as a community are in a tipping point, I believe, in influencing, in agreement with God, our community, our city, and our nation. And it's not over. You know, we're in the middle of it. And we are determiners of how it's going to end up. And the most influential spot we have as a believer is on our knees in communion with God's heart. God's got a good, good plan for us. And we get to co-labor with Him. The scriptures say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. And you all know there's plenty of evidence of our land needing healing. A lot of things have been unearthed in the last couple of years. And if we're getting distracted by what's been unearthed, we have the wrong focus. A few weeks ago, I got up before you and spoke a little bit about prayer. And I shared with you a remembrance that I had as a young girl in the Catholic Church. And when I was crying out to God, I was in the fourth grade, and I was crying out to God that Mass felt really boring to me that day. It was like, why am I even here, you know? And I cried out, God, you've got to be more than this. And He showed up. His presence showed up on me in the fourth grade, and I was at peace. I had no anxiety about where I was or what I was doing. I just enjoyed His presence. And you know, I have feasted on that encounter through the years as I've grown in Him. And after I shared that with you, He reminded me in the Psalms, He says, I prepare for you a table in the presence of your enemies. And I just want to challenge you and ask you, what does your table look like? What are you feasting on? Because God's promises are true. My encounters with God, the Word becoming alive in circumstances and situations in my life. Yesterday we got to remember some special people, and you know, from 25 years ago, and the miracles that God's doing, and it just reminded me that we all have a table set before us. What's on your table? What are you focused on in the midst of your enemies? Our life in Him is constantly unfolding. That one encounter has changed through the years, dependent on my perspective and the love that I have. And He is reconciling us to Himself. He is causing us to remember who we are and the perfection with which He created us. The only way I know to get to know Him, my Creator, is by spending time with Him. He's our best bestie. He's our very, very best friend that we will ever have. And prayer is for you. It's not just a servant's heart for others, but prayer was designed for you to remember who you are and to become reconciled with your Creator. It's a beautiful journey. It's the process that we're in. We're all being reconciled to remembering who He created us to be and living passionately from that place. So now is the time. Don't delay. Make time in your day. Make time in your week, because you control your time, whether you believe that or not. So make time for your best friend and discover who you are in this hour, in this season, and be all that you can be. You know, there's nothing to be gained by shrinking back and being afraid of what men think about us. Nothing to be gained. Because God made you perfect. And we don't get to use that word enough here. You are perfectly formed and fashioned. You're welcome. I look forward to us responding to that word in 6 months. We will be a different people. So get on your knees.
Trying to tell me what to do. There we go. Okay. You can turn me down just a tiny bit. I want to, real quick, I'm going to give you guys some ingredients, but before we get to that, I want to, yesterday was Veterans Day, and I want to just recognize and honor our veterans. If you're a veteran, would you stand up? I know we got a few of you in here. Yeah. Yeah. Stay standing for a second. Yeah. Thank you guys. Just want to honor you guys. And it seems like a small thing to applaud our veterans, but anyway, just wanted to honor you guys, and so much of what we experience, we're disconnected from, and yet they're sitting in our midst. I want to talk about a couple ingredients. I had this word ingredients on my heart this week, and as you know, if you've made something, or even if you've never made anything or cooked anything, or you realize that there's ingredients, there's things that go into making something. And if you use the wrong ingredients, you end up making the wrong thing, or the thing you were trying to make tastes awful. I remember when I was a kid, my sister made cookies one time. It was actually my sister and my cousin. And they were all excited about making cookies. And I just remember their excitement kept me out of the kitchen. I remember that was that I was running around. I like to be involved in everything, even then. And I remember they used the wrong ingredient. How many of you guys know what's the most important ingredient in cookies? That's right. You guys are on it. And how many know there's something else around the kitchen that looks like sugar, but tastes quite opposite? Yeah, so they made some cookies using the wrong ingredient, and they weren't cookies at all. They couldn't even pretend to be cookies. And so I want to talk a little bit about, I'm going to give you three ingredients, and we're going to go kind of quick, but to not take too much of your time, but kind of three ingredients that I found, and they're not going to be surprising to you, just like sugar and cookies. But just as a reminder, I think that if we believe that, I think we're always in a special season. We just always are. We're always in transition. We're always in a season. We're always in, and so that's not a surprise to anybody. But the seasons do change, and the ingredients for some seasons change, but there's some ingredients that are just like constant. They're just a constant, like I need that ingredient in my life. I need that thing present in my life to motivate me to walk through and to be positioned correctly to make the cookie taste like a cookie, if that makes sense. To make the life look like the life that I want. And so, you know, what we would call a follower of Jesus, somebody not just a Christian. Because how many of you guys know Christian, the word Christian has kind of become something that maybe it doesn't mean. But following Jesus, choosing to follow Jesus, am I following Jesus? I believe that there's ingredients, and I'm going to give you just a couple of them, that have to be in the recipe of life that is following Jesus. And the first one we're going to talk about is faith. No surprise. There's a story that is in Mark, and it's a story of Jesus. I'm going to just paraphrase it, but it's in Mark 12:41. It's a story of Jesus sitting, watching people drop money into the offering basket or bag or box or whatever it was that they were dropping it in. And he's sitting there, and when I read these stories, there's all kinds of neat stories about Jesus, of course, in Scripture. And one of the things I like to think about when I'm thinking about these stories, some of them are stories that Jesus is telling, like we talked about a parable last week. We're talking about how Jesus would actually create moments out of parables and lessons and teachings and that kind of thing. But other things were just moments in time. They were just cruising around. The disciples are following around, and they're just watching him, and he would take a moment. He would see something that happened, and he would take a moment, he would call him in, and he would teach him something from a moment. And this is one of those times where they were sitting there, and a woman came up, a widow came up, and dropped two copper coins in the offering basket. And so Jesus calls the disciples over, say, "You guys, come here. He takes this opportunity." I was thinking that, I wonder if I was in this, if I was walking on the earth and happened to be in the same room at the same time or the same city at the same time as Jesus was, would my life be lived in such a way that he would be able to tell a story about me? I've been thinking that. Like, if Jesus was watching, would he be able to use my life, a moment in my life, to tell a story about an illustration about the kingdom? Well, I'll let you into a secret. Jesus is watching your life. Jesus is watching your life. And he's still, what's amazing now is that the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus left, the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit actually whispers your story to people. And when you live your life in such a way with some of the ingredients we're going to be talking about, the Holy Spirit, your life actually becomes a story just like this was. It's this learning opportunity where the kingdom comes, attributes of the kingdom come, and people experience a lesson, a kingdom encounter through something that you've done out of love, compassion, faith. So anyway, that's something else. I'm not on track to be quick. I'm trying. It's a rabbit trail. All right. So this story, she drops two copper coins and Jesus says, gathers up everybody. And he says, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury. That's poor as in not very much money, not poor as in, oh, poor widow. Poor widow. I'm really tired. I stayed up really late. We were on retreat this weekend. I drove from Fortuna this morning at 6 o'clock. I'm tired. I'm sorry. The filter is a little thin this morning. Yeah. You're welcome. All right. She's put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put everything in, all she had to live on. The point being, what he's pointing out is that how much you put into the offering plate, in this situation, how much you put into the offering plate is not about monetary value. It's about heart. It's about heart condition. It's about where you are. And this person, this widow, in this courageous act of faith, was living in such a way that her life was an example of faith, that her life was an example of giving everything, of giving everything that you have. Shelley was just talking about giving everything in prayer. Faith is the position of willingness to give everything. I'll encourage you that in this walk of following Jesus, if you have to check with your stuff before you can answer to Jesus, your priorities are backwards. I'll say that again. If you have to check with your stuff, if you have to inventory your stuff before you say yes to Jesus, I'm not saying that you don't inventory your stuff, because you do. Because whatever you're going to do usually will cost money. But if your yes is dependent on the inventory of your stuff, your faith may be too small. Right? If God says, hey, I'm taking you to whatever. Or says, hey, I want you to pull over and buy that person something. Or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. I need you to give that thing away. I need you to go to that place. I need you to, whatever the Lord's telling you, that pull on your heart that says, do that, go there, give that, whatever. If your first reaction is to say, hold on, God, let me inventory. If your first reaction is not, yes, Lord, provide the, right? Faith is saying yes to God in whatever the circumstances are. How many of you guys know if God asks you or calls you into something, it's not your responsibility necessarily to come up with the something? That's where faith comes in. It doesn't mean you don't turn then after your yes, you don't turn then and say, okay, God. Okay, I'm in. How's that going to happen? How's that going to work? I don't know what to do. You told me to give him $10 and I only got 3 in my wallet. You know, you told me to feed all the people. I only got a couple fish and a little bit of bread. And there's a lot of people out there. Are you guys alive? You with me? Okay. We know this verse. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the moment of faith, the moment of your yes, is actually the beginning of action. You have to believe it. You have to grab it and in belief before you can actually become it. There has to be, even if it's a mustard seed, there has to be a drip of faith that starts action. Now, things happen. We sometimes trip and fall into the will of God. Like, I love it when that happens. Like, I don't even know how I got here. This is perfect. Thank you, Lord. This is amazing. Like, sometimes he just, I have written on my board in my office, when he purposed my destiny, he factored in my stupidity. And that's true. I believe that, like, he's like, you're going to get here whether you see all the signs or not, I'm going to get you here because I need you to be here. But there is those moments when he actually invites us in to a partnership, to a co-laboring, to a, hey, I really want to do this and I'd really like to use you. And faith is the beginning of that action. Hope is believing that God will do something. Faith is believing that He can. The second ingredient is risk. T.S. Eliot said that only those who risk going too far can possibly find out how far they can go. There's tons of stories about risk. I mean, just all kinds of amazing stories where people, in order to follow what they knew God was saying, what they knew Jesus was saying, they had to take risk. You know, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego risking their lives to do what they knew was right. The story of Jonathan and his armor bearer charging into battle. Of course, Esther, story of Esther going before the king. And Peter, of course, getting out on the water. The risk to answering the call of Jesus. There's tons of examples. But I want to, there's also another story I just want to kind of tell you. You pretty much know this story. Probably most of you have heard some version of it. But Matthew 25, I talked about this actually not very long ago. But it's the story of the talents. And one of the stories, there's a few different stories. But in this story, basically what happens, this is Matthew 25. Basically what happens, the servant goes away. I'm sorry, the master goes away and gives the servants, I think it's 1, 3, and 5. Or 5, 2, and 1 in this story, I think. That's right. Anyway, read the story and then you'll know exactly. Anyway, he gives them these things to take care of. And goes away, and the first two, one that had 5 and the one that had 2, take it, invest the money, double the money, and bring it back. And the master says, well done. And the third person actually takes it, protects it, keeps it, holds on to it, brings it back, and says, here, I kept it for you. You gave it to me, I kept it, and I brought it back. It's safe and sound. And that servant actually lost that, and it was quite bad. It went bad from there. And I want to just point out, grab one little thing, that's grabbed in that quote, that if we're not willing to risk what we have for what we can become, we may get stuck. And I don't just mean money. I mean, if we're not willing to risk what we have, where we're at, what we've been given, what we've earned even, what God has bestowed on, if we're not willing to risk that to become where God's taking us as we're following Jesus, we may get stuck. We may get stuck. And you might end up with that thing that God gave you just as it was when He gave it to you. But how many of you guys know in the kingdom, which is this I love, things are always meant to grow. Things are always meant to multiply. What was the command? Go forth and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. How many of you guys know that wasn't just about breeding? Surprise, it wasn't. The enemy of risk will always be the fear of loss. And to take risk is not to pretend that there's no potential for loss. That's called stupidity. I'll say that again. Just so you don't think I'm calling you stupid. I didn't mean it like that. To take a risk is not to pretend that there's no potential for loss. To take a risk, you must have the strength not to be controlled by the fear of that loss. The enemy of risk will always be the fear of loss. Risking what you have will always be thwarted by the fear of losing it. The fear of things not going from glory to glory, not going from to increase, but actually going to nothing. But how many of you guys know a step towards God, even when it's away from something else, is always a step towards something? And sometimes we have to lose what we have in order to get what we need. We have to step out of one season into another season. It's really nice when things overlap. I love that too. When you're like, I can see exactly where my foot's going before I leave this spot. There used to be this spot on the river, on the Klamath, when I was a river guide, that we used to jump off rocks into the river, and there was this one spot where this big bush just happened to grow. And the hole that you jumped into was plenty big. I mean, but from about 40 feet in the air with a bush in the way, it looked really small. You couldn't see where you were going to land, but you had until you left the rock. And as soon as you left the rock, you passed the bush, and then you could see that's where I'm going. Now, it was really, as long as you jumped anywhere close there, you were going to hit in the right spot. But you still had to, you couldn't picture it, right? You still had to believe that nobody moved the river. And it seems funny, but it's true. It was so, it's this mind over matter that I can't see where I'm going to land. Yeah, there's some risk in that. But in order to get off the rock, you got to leave the rock before you get to see where you're going. Sometimes. We have to exercise wisdom and caution, obviously. But it's our ability to still advance forward that makes us world changers. That doesn't mean that we all take the same risk, or that even we decide what is risk for someone else. One of the things we've learned about the challenge course is that risk for one person is not always risk for another. And that what's risk for you is between you and God. But what's important is that risk becomes an ingredient. That the idea of risk and having risk and stepping into risk is actually, I believe it's a necessity in the following of God. It's actually a necessity in the pursuit of Jesus. In this relationship that we have, risk is a necessity. And so it's not about a specific risk or someone telling you or me saying you've got to do it because it's risky. It's not about that. It's not risk for risk's sake. It's including the ingredient and realizing that if we're going to do this thing, if we're going to follow Jesus, it's going to involve some risk. And the last thing real quickly I want to talk about is sacrifice. Your commitment is revealed in your choice between comfort and conviction. I'll say that again. Your commitment is revealed in the choice between comfort and conviction. There's a really famous story in Luke about a rich young ruler that comes to Jesus and says, what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus gives him a couple different things. Again, this is Luke 18. Read it, please. In the end of it, Jesus says, in order to follow me, you have to give everything you have to the poor, and then you can follow me. And it's the scripture says that the rich young ruler went away sad because he was wealthy. There was a cost. There was a sacrifice that had to be made. Now, does that mean you have to have nothing in order to follow Jesus? No. But it means that you have to be willing to give it all up to follow Jesus. There's a condition of the heart Jesus could see and say, hey, I know what trips you up. Look at this. I know what trips you up. You're not actually willing. You're not committed enough, and you're not willing to sacrifice your comfort for this connection. And all I have to do is give you the opportunity. And who knows if the guy would have said, okay, I'll do it. I'm in. Jesus may have said, no, it's okay. Or maybe he gave away half of it and Jesus said, actually, keep that half. Or who knows what he would have done. Maybe he would have let him give it all away. I don't know. But what we do know is that it wasn't Jesus' choice to send him away. It was the choice to value comfort over connection. It was the choice to, I can't give this to get this. Following Jesus always requires sacrifice. It doesn't always require the same sacrifice. And it doesn't mean that I get to determine for you or you for someone else what your sacrifice will be. But I believe it's an ingredient that's always included. It's always included. And as soon as there's something in your life that you're not willing to sacrifice to follow Jesus, the next day is when he visits you and says, hey, guess what? I want you to give up. Right? As soon as we bring something in our relationship, a lot of times, especially in our culture, it seems that Jesus lets us drag all kinds of stuff behind us. But he won't let us put anything in front. He won't let us get anything in between him and us. Yeah. As soon as we start pulling it around to where it begins to block our view, he says, you're going to make a choice. It's time to make a choice. Do you want that there? And just like the rich young ruler, we have the choice usually to go, no, I like this where it is. Bummer. So now what are you following? Something else is in front. Even if Jesus is out there somewhere, something else has moved into the spot, and that's now what I'm following. In order to follow Jesus, sacrifice will always be an ingredient. I know that he wants us all and has positioned us all to impact our environment. And how each of us do that is always a wild challenge. You know, some of us are called to do this, be up on a pulpit and get to tell your stories and follow rabbit trails and influence people's hearts and minds, hopefully. And some people are just commissioned to work at the mill, do whatever it is that they're doing, and build homes and work behind a computer and teach kids. And there's a million things we all are doing, right? But these ingredients, of course, we know there's a whole bunch more. But I kind of chose these ones specifically because I'm in a place in my life where I'm choosing to bake cookies. I'm choosing to insert ingredients. And my season as the senior leader of Mount Chapel is coming to an end. I'll say that again so make sure you all heard me. It's time for me to step away as a senior leader of Mount Chapel. And it's not right away. But it's coming. It's happening. We've done 9.5 years here, which is a long time. And we're not planning on moving or leaving. In fact, I hope we stay in Weaverville for quite a while. Shannon loves her job. And most of you guys know that I recently took a job at Bethel Global Response. And that's kind of staying the way that it is, and it's great. I love it. And a lot more of stuff. I'm going to still be preaching a bunch. I'm not gone yet, but I wanted to kind of fill you guys in because we're beginning to look for, you know, the next pastor that's coming, the next champion that's going to lead this motley crew. But I thought of that story a couple of days ago. I was trying to think of good illustrations, and the story of jumping over the bush in the, into the river came up, and it feels a little bit like that. Like, I know the river's down there. I've been doing this for a long time to know that all the things I've jumped off, I always hit the water. God's so good and has been forever. And where I land is going to be great. It's going to be great for us. It's going to be great for Mount Chapel. I'm in that season of kind of standing at the rock. Well, I kind of feel like I just jumped. Kind of jumping off that rock and waiting to see, kind of waiting for the landing to come into view. And so really, I just appreciate, and of course, you know, our elder team, this is not a surprise to them. We've been talking about it for quite a while. It's time to really start figuring out what's next. So it's kind of getting out there, and wanted to be the one to tell you guys. I really would just kind of covet and appreciate your prayers as you're thinking about, both Mountain Chapel, what's in store for Mountain Chapel, what's coming next. As you guys know, it's a huge shift for a church to shift leaders. The next person that comes in and brings whatever that is. And ideally, I'll be here in whatever capacity to help do that transition. Not planning on leaving, but just stepping aside, stepping over. We'll see. I know I'm a bit of a control freak, so hopefully that'll all work out. I'll have to sit in the back, I think. Yeah. But what I know is it's going to be fun. It's going to be weird. It's always weird. You know, transition is weird. It's awkward and it's unsettling, and there's a whole bunch of more questions than we have answers. And for those of you that were here in the last transition, you know it's hard. It's hard to go through, and it's hard to figure out, like, what's God doing, what's God saying. But I just really encourage you guys that I believe what I said this morning is that we choose who we're going to follow. We don't always choose where we get to go. And it's powerful, but sometimes our only choice is, am I following? Am I following what Jesus is doing? Am I following Jesus? Am I following Jesus? Am I giving up comfort? Am I willing to take risk? Am I walking in faith? That list goes on, but that question is constant. We get to choose not to. God says, hey, we're turning. We're making a left turn. This is left. That's your left. We're making a left turn. It's, I don't want to go that way. Guess what you're not doing anymore? You just choose not to follow. Which is powerful about our life, that every day we get to choose that. But I feel like this is the Lord. I feel like this is the season. I feel like it's the time. And I'm excited for me and my family. And I'm excited for Mountain Chapel. I'm excited for the next season. I've been sweating trying to get ready to tell you guys that. It's like telling your parents, I'm going to college. I'm moving out. Come up, Dixon. Like I said, there's a season that this is going to happen over a transitional season, so it's not like it's happening right away. But, there's a whole bunch of questions I can't answer. Like I said, I'm jumping off a rock over the top of a bush. So, There's a whole bunch of things I can't answer. And so you might just get a, I don't know if you ask me things, but you're welcome to ask me anything you want. But I just really encourage you to just pray into what God's doing in my life and begin to really intercede and pray for the next pastor that's coming. And thank you, Jim. Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So yeah, I'm done. I can ramble forever, but go ahead.
I'm just going to... All right, am I up? Guys, am I up in this mic? Okay, now I can hear me too. It just always helps me. It's such a treat to be here. Such a treat for us to be here. And I'm convinced that it's no accident that the one morning we could be here at Mountain Chapel is when Cameron's announcing this. So I actually, Cameron and Chen, I want to invite y'all to come up here for a minute. As Cameron said, and, you know, I certainly don't know the details, but as Cameron said, you know, there's going to be time. This is not something that's happening now. So this is not the, like, we're praying to send you out. But I wanted to invite Cameron and Shannon up here first to say that several years ago, about 4 years ago, actually, Teresa and I had been part of the leadership team here. I was on staff at the church, and then we weren't. God did something different, and we stayed here. And y'all, as a church body, loved us really well. That's not just it's just not a very common event where you have someone who's been a pastor in a church and then, you know, they're young and they're no longer a pastor and they're just still part of the body. And y'all did that really well with us. And I really want to ask you to do that really well again. And I want to thank you all for all that you've poured in. You know, as senior leader, as, you know, for, I'm not sure Mountain Chapel would have existed for years if you weren't here. Shannon is just doing everything. I just on behalf of the body here, I want to say thank you so much. All right, I understand Shanna's homesick with a sick baby. Oh, so, but David, will you come up here? And the elder team, will y'all please come up here? All right, come on up. All right, come on up. So, being away in Hawaii and being, you know, far from here and feeling that distance, it wouldn't be hard for me to, you know, have lots of questions about what's going to happen. And yet I know that we have this amazing crew and several that aren't here, you know, Bill and Judy, Tim, you know, and Shanna, and just, it, you know, everybody who's not here this morning with us, but we have this amazing crew to lead in this transition. And I wanted to, I'm convinced it's not by accident that Shelley was talking about prayer this morning. And what I want to invite you to do is to come and join me in commissioning and praying for our leaders in leading us in this transition. Will you do that with me? We'll just come surround them. Maybe y'all can step forward so someone can be behind you.